We are live right here at MC Studios, and we are excited to have you on the show, and welcome to It Doesn't Work That Way with me, Kashelle Zachary.
Our opening is a little bit different today, because I find it so funny. I don't know why I find it funny.
What's funny? So since she's being a laugh
box. You're giving me Delilah vibes.
Delilah. My young self listening to Delilah, and I was like, what am I doing? And I mean, they would be like,
oh my God,
my husband hasn't came home in weeks, and I'm feeling really sad. Is there a song that you could play for me?
Ooh, Delilah.
And Delilah would find, you know, I'm going to look up Delilah. I listened to her voice.
Is she still alive?
All that time. And
for those who don't know,
oh my God.
For the people that weren't even born, Delilah, back in syndicated radio days,
oh my gosh,
Delilah used to come on at night and people would write her
Delilah's nationally syndicated nighttime radio program, yeah. Simply called Delilah, is a call-in show where listeners share their stories and Delilah chooses songs to match their situations, yep. Offering encouragement and support. So I remember listening one time and the woman was like, Delilah, my husband hasn't came home. I don't know where he's at. And I'm feeling so alone. And, you know, I just want to feel close to him. And Delilah was like, I have the perfect song for you.
That's how you was.
And then she would sailing away. What was I doing even listening to
that? I literally don't know. Like, Delilah ran back and we were toddlers. So this was many moons ago. But shout out to Delilah. That's how Kashelle opened the episode today. I usually open the episode, but you was giving Delilah vibes. And I like it, friend. Lean into that.
Delilah's show began airing at KDUN AM in Reedsport, Oregon.
Come on, Oregon.
Where she was a middle schooler and went into national syndication in 1996. That would be about right.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to the show on iHeartRadio. Oh, she's still going. You can find more information about the show.
Delilah is still going.
Delilah is out here living her best
life.
Delilah, won't he do it?
Let's try to interview Delilah.
I'm going to ask Delilah come on the show because she's been rocking for a long time since the 90s, and she done wrote books and everything.
Come on, Delilah. Okay, I love it. Okay, so that was
dope. Good.
Nobody does it better than the Watts Podcast Network.
Just that simple.
Thank you for that, friend.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I need that tickle boom. So today, Kashelle,
I'm going to ask a question.
All right,
is that okay?
Yes, friend, I'm ready.
So, this is my question today.
Mm-hmm.
We need to trust the motives of journalists, content creators, anchors, and all forms of media, including articles and social media posts.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to approach the media with the presumption of positive intent all the time.
It doesn't work that way for 100, Alex. No, it doesn't work that way.
It really doesn't.
It doesn't. Like, I want to get into this because these two words came across my desk and I had never heard them before in my life.
Speak, child, educate us.
Media literate.
Now, that's the first time I'm hearing since you saying it.
I was like,
looking at it.
I have a book. I have a notebook. And if I hear something, I'll write it down so I can go back and revisit it.
Gotcha.
And I was like, what the heck is media literacy? And let me define that for our audience.
Yes.
Media literacy is defined as an expanded conceptualization of literacy that includes the ability to access and analyze media messages, as well as create, reflect, and act using the power of information and communication.
Okay, so
how did I say that? It sounded great, didn't it?
Friend, you could...
butter. Peanut butter.
You could say
like butter.
You can say whatever. It's going to sound beautiful because it's coming from your heart.
Oh, thank you, friend.
It's interesting how, you know, everything is kind of moving at such a fast pace,
mm-hmm.
that it's always new terminology. It's always this new meaning. You know, a lot of words have been completely hijacked. They're just taken in. You know, we once everything has kind of been watered down to me a little bit. if I could just piggyback off, you know, what you just said, I think the more we become accustomed to taking in information from our cell phones, from, you know, and just engaging so much information and content.
As Jordan calls it, our supercomputer.
Our supercomputers that we walk around in our hands. We are about to get the ride of our lives, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm often wondering, who came up with that? Like, I often wonder, like, you know, I'll hear this new term and I'm like, where did they come up with that from? Like, so who gets to say that this is, you know,
we're in that? Media. We're in media. We make media.
Yes.
This podcast is media.
Our TV series is media.
Right. So when I started hearing people say, for instance, SH, what would you think that stands for?
Say hello.
It's actually the sexual harassment.
Damn.
So how would, I was listening to a podcast, because I listen to a lot of different podcasts.
Because you know how the kids would be like, BRB.
Be right back.
So,
but before it was just like, B-E.
R-I-G-H-T.
But I was listening to a podcast and they kept saying S-H. And I was like, what in the world? And then I figured it out because I listened to the whole thing. And it was like they were talking about sexual harassment.
How hard is it for us to just say, why do we have to use the abbreviation?
Or unalived.
How hard is it to say dead?
I don't know.
So let me, because this is deeper than what we think it is.
It is. It really is.
According to the Nielsen data, as of quarter two, 2023,
it's recent.
Mm-hmm. Americans over 18 years old spend an average of 59 hours and 56 minutes with media per week.
What?
Which amounts to 8 hours and 34 minutes per day.
Let me let that sink in for a minute.
That's a lot, y'all.
If you have an iPhone, and I don't know why you wouldn't, but okay. If you have an iPhone and they give you that alert about how much time you are on.
Mm-hmm. It's real.
I'd be feeling guilty.
Mm.
I'd be like, dang.
It says, in an age of media saturation with adults spending more and more time online, listen to this, guys. Critical thinking skills are one of the most important skills relevant to media literacy.
I think you're 1,000% correct.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever gave us that study from Nielsen, like, when I think about it now with everything that I consume, mm-hmm. right? I always ask myself, like, if you like people, you want to be around them. They're energetic, mm-hmm. they're charismatic. You know, it's different if you have somebody reading the news to you. And it's just like, today there will be a storm.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very like somber, mm-hmm. and they're giving you valid information. Mm-hmm. Like, don't drive down Highway 75. It's a flood at Walnut Hill. You know, mm-hmm. they're giving you that information, but they're not giving it to you in an energetic, likable personality mm-hmm. way. And so you may tend to turn off the person who is actually telling you the truth. And
wow.
then because somebody is happy and they just want you to consume whatever they got, and they're like, yeah, y'all go down 75, it's great, you know, and they all high and hyper. I've had to curtail content based off of that.
Mm.
I'd be like, oh, they seem very charismatic and nice, and mm-hmm. they're very presented very well, buttoned up.
Mm.
And it just, so this is the warning, just because it looks good.
Oh, come on now.
You know, doesn't mean it is good tasting or that it is good for you.
Because
stuff could taste good, but it may not be good for you.
Facts, like them brownies.
Which brownies, from Chick-fil-A?
Girl, they taste good.
Why did I specifically name a Chick-fil-A brownie? Chick-fil-A, call us for a sponsorship, okay?
ASAP.
Because
it's good.
That's what I was like, Chick-fil-A? Mm-hmm. It's like they lemonade. And don't do a Sunjoy. Like, stop, stop. But if you have too much of it, it's not good for you.
Right.
So, you know, there is no doubt in my mind that we all learn from media.
Because
what do you want people to learn from Frame of Reference?
Oh my gosh, I want them to be able to see stories centered around African American life and take away like, oh, that's what it's like to be you.
Mm.
Or, you know, when you walk into a room, this is how you are perceived. Mm-hmm. Or if you hear a name like Coquise, this is how, you know, somebody might not feel like you're qualified to do the job.
How would you know if her, in her name?
Hey, you know.
But a previous episode, we talked about DE&I, but I won't go down that road.
That's right. So what I hope that they'll take from the series is like a learning through entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I want to entertain you to an extent,
mm-hmm.
but then I also want to make sure that I'm very relatable and very real and that you're able to take something away and hopefully even see yourself in some of the situations and be like, do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Am I guilty of that?
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that I can adjust and change? You know, to be, you know, I think we're all change agents, whether we realize it or not. Some of us is out here changing things for the better. Some of us is out here changing things for the worse.
That is not funny, so, community. And our family, I'm going to call y'all family. We sisters, we family. If you hear, you family.
Mm-hmm.
That's not funny, but I find it funny because there is a lot of change that's, mm-hmm. that's happening. I feel that, Kashia, like we all have to fully understand. It's our responsibility. We have to take accountability to fully understand how we interact with media and how that media affects us,
yes.
and our society as a whole.
It's a real thing. Thank you for listening. It Doesn't Work That Way podcast is sponsored by Frame of Reference. The series explores the vulnerable and often hectic lives of a close group knit of friends and provides a truthful evaluation of how fear and past misfortunes can define our present point of view. You can stream season one of Frame of Reference on the Roku channel, Tubi TV, or Prime Video. Intention.
Oh my God.
Everything is, and even when people was like, oh, I just make that for fun, or, you know, oh, there's still intention behind it.
Right.
You know, there's intention behind everything. I'm now at the age where I really pay attention to like everything that I'm taking in, whether I'm listening to it or I'm visually watching it. So I'm always watching my eye gate and my ear gates because they are gates. They are gates,
mm-hmm.
and they do influence the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, like when I try to even go back and like listen to songs I used to listen to growing up.
Oh, give me an example.
I don't want to.
Because you
do
love
that.
Music.
I do love music.
But
I
don't want to put nobody on
blast. I don't want to put nobody on blast.
Okay.
But I was like, how was I listening to this shit? It's so negative. You know what I'm saying? Did not realize it then. Even if it was.
Had a catchy beat. It was energetic.
Energetic.
It was charismatic.
It was all those things. And then you talking about dying? I'm like, I don't want to die.
Mm.
You know, and then at the time I'm thinking like, oh, it sound good, you know? It sound good. And now being a little bit more wise.
Can I tell you a song that I used to love?
Speak, child.
And I listened to it, and now I used to think it was funny.
Okay.
But now
what is she about?
Family, like, listen, like this. These are our sisters and brothers out there. There was one song, and it was by Ludacris.
Mm.
And I actually remember hearing it for the first time in Raleigh, North Carolina, when I came to visit you for y'all homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Move.
Bitch.
Get out the way.
It sounds crazy, don't it?
It do, but I used to say
it sounds crazy.
I used to love that. So I'd be like, bitch. You know, and I'm like, as you mature, and I think we need to probably accelerate maturity now.
And I think if Ludacris heard this, he could possibly.
Oh, he's
relate.
Grown as a
exactly.
Totally.
I believe,
don't even think they call him Ludacris anymore.
I think some artists. So, like, one of my favorite artists is Yasiin Bey, and at the time when he was under the name Mos Def, he did Fat Booty.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Talib Kweli talking about like it's hard for him to even sometimes do those songs now.
Wow.
Because he was like, that's not who I am anymore. Mm-hmm. I did that for like mm-hmm. the industry. I did mm-hmm. that to, you know, he was like, but now I'm on a higher wavelength and I'll do it for the fans every now and then, but I'm not there anymore. So yeah. I think even as a own as artists, as we grow, you could be like, yeah, I would. Yeah, it was cool then, but I can't necessarily say it's cool now.
Yeah.
I think I heard another artist say it. I don't know who it was. I think it was maybe Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was in the studio and he's like, you know, the way the rappers are going now, they got this certain beat and style and flow. And he said, I tried to go in there and do it. And he said, it wasn't me. He said, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think something.
He was like, I can't, it'd be fraudulent. He can't conform.
Correct.
To that. And I think.
And we're not even going to talk about the Dog Pound album. I cannot listen to that. When I was in the 90s.
But the Chronic.
It was on. Do you hear me?
The Chronic.
All of it. But now, you know, being seasoned.
One, two, three, and two.
I get it.
Snoop Dogg. I mean, like, we were there.
And then I do think there's like, I think there's growth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so because now I'm more aware of what I listen to.
And intention. You're more aware of intention. Like, now you're asking, what are you trying to feed me?
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. So now the things that I used to have an appetite for, which is how appetites can change.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer have an appetite.
Like, do you still like McDonald's?
Not. You ain't going to catch me over there.
Not even for some hot fries.
Nope. I'm past that.
You're going to go Chick-fil-A.
All day. Growth is real. Yeah. And I think I would be afraid for anybody that don't even see growth in their own art. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe that even as an artist, which is why I so appreciate y'all seeing, you know, he was like, yeah, I started there.
Yeah.
But my heart and my mind and my soul, my mind, my will and my emotions is somewhere else. Not to say I didn't once do that. It was a time where I once entertained that. So you're not knocking it. You're just like, I'm just no longer there. And I think one of my biggest frustrations is that people don't want you to even outgrow yourself.
So let me say this. Mm-hmm. I love how you put what I want to encourage people, mm-hmm. like I'm encouraging myself, is now I'm asking myself, what is the intent of what this album is supposed to be?
Right.
And I love when, for instance,
mm-hmm.
Because people can put anything in their media. There can be put hidden messages.
Facts. That's
subliminal
real.
Messages, right. Symbolism.
Some is just direct.
Some, right. You have to be clear. I wish everybody would be like, I am telling you this because I want you to think like me.
But they're telling you that.
Putting that in their messaging. But we just consume. We don't ever say, what's your intent for wanting me to listen to this chant? Are you wanting me to start chanting, you know, whatever? So I think
intention is
everything.
Do everything with intention.
Shout out to Solange. Like, she was intentional. Her media, a seat at the table. She was so intentional. You could feel it.
Her sister intentional too.
Yeah, she told us Renaissance was after COVID. Mm-hmm. She said, I just feel like we need to party. We need to dance. That's exactly what happened.
When I get to come across artists with that level of higher vibration intention.
Come on, vibrations. I keep hearing, I got seen. Vibrations. Okay, go ahead.
And so when I get that higher level vibration of intention, that be like, that is just like a dream. And then when I see this low hanging fruit intention, I'd be like, y'all go somewhere with that.
And this is why I want, so as we wrap out of this episode, I want to be very clear that we have to become media literate.
Yes.
Let's not be illiterate to what is happening in media today, mm-hmm. because the media, the bar of entry has been lowered. Anybody can start a podcast.
Facts.
Anybody can go on YouTube, which is like the number one television. I don't want to say television, but it's the number one place where people get their shows,
facts.
their whatever. And then you have to ask yourself, what are they trying to tell me? And does it align with what I already believe?
Wow.
And because it's important to be grounded in that, you can consume it, right? But you may not believe what they're saying. You're just saying, oh, I'm getting their point of view. So like, I heard the word astroturfing. Have you ever heard of that?
You're introducing me to.
Astroturfing is when there is an intent and an attempt to create the illusion of support for a particular cause, person, or stance.
Wow.
So you could have an illusion illusion. If you like, people can go and bot farms, or, you know, people buy stuff and they'll say, oh, I love this candy, but they may not really love that candy. And that's not a real comment from a real person. That's, and you're believing that, oh, I love that candy too. Clickbait, you've heard of this one,
I'm sure,
refers to headlines online, news articles that are sensationalized or sometimes wholly fake.
Wholly fake. W-H-O-L-L-Y.
Okay. And fake. So there are multiple ways to interpret a story, a film, even if it's a movie you watch, mm-hmm. a film, a post.
It says it uses people's natural curiosity to get people to click. In some cases, clickbait is used to generate income. More clicks mean more money is made with advertising.
So if your incentive is money, but not actually to educate you or give you some art.
Oh, you're throwing anything up.
So you putting if I got to eat, you know, people going to put up anything.
Right.
You know, Bubbles went to the grave of Michael Jackson and did, you know, and I don't know that. I just put that on there to get you to click the article.
Before clickbait, it was the National Enquirer.
Oh, my God. And they used to have, wow. You would think, I believe some of that stuff was real.
I don't, who knows?
Exactly.
Knows?
Okay. That's the point. We got to become media literate. So we must, this is my challenge to the family, to our brothers and sisters out there. We must understand that we all possess the ability to have critical thinking skills.
So there are also multiple ways to interpret a story.
Yes,
film,
I was saying that earlier. Mm-hmm.
A post.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond the author's intention, if you can back it up with sound reasoning and can base it off examples in the text, you are well off. Give me an example.
So I read a story. I seen an article. It was a clickbait article, I believe, about I won't use any names, but they were trying to smear a particular person in the online news world. When I say online news world, I'm talking about YouTube, and they have a huge following.
All right.
And the article was basically, the clickbait kind of led you down to believe like this person was doing something radical in shifting their career. And then when I read it, I was like, I wonder, is this true? Because it was so leaning on one side. It wasn't NPR.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't trying to bring you
a balanced point.
And
of
then
view.
You make a decision.
Yeah.
And so then I took a step further. I said, I'm going to go watch an episode of the show on YouTube.
Come on.
And vetting. And that's when I was like, that's not the same, because on the show she addressed the entire thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, clickbait. So she got paid from the ads that popped up, but she was perceiving some, if you don't have the time, you just read the article and keep scrolling. And then you're out at lunch talking about spreading a narrative that's not even true.
Which is why you say we must understand that we all possess the ability to have critical
thinking skills that keep us from just absorbing content mindlessly. Thank you for listening. It Doesn't Work That Way podcast is sponsored by The Watts Announcer. The Watts Announcer is a media brand that covers the amazing emerging talent in the entertainment industry, including movies, TV, and more. The inaugural episode features the cast of Frame of Reference. Hosted by Amanda Gaddison, the exclusive interview will be available only on the Watts Prod YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe for notifications.
Facts.
Instead, we interact with a work on a deeper level.
Mm.
And I don't care what anybody says, mm-hmm. and I'm going through, you know, some medical transformation and things are happening. I gotta work out, you know.
Yes.
And that's a skill that I have to acquire.
Right. Learn behavior.
It's same thing with critical thinking skills.
Yep.
And so the key that I want to drop to our brothers and sisters, that's what I think I'm gonna call our community.
Come on, because we are sister, brothers and sisters, come
brothers
on.
And sisters,
coming into the Watts orbit.
Please seek the truth for yourselves.
Please, y'all,
because it empowers you to make an informed decision. You have to explore it for yourself. If I, there is one. Let me say, what do I? I do not like mayo. I've tasted
it.
I've tasted it, and I do not like mayo. But I had to taste it first. Now, my father would not eat anything white.
He didn't like mayo, sour cream.
It was none. He was like, he had a bad experience where I think he told us before that he had ate something that was spoiled and he got super, super sick. So he just, if it was white, he just didn't mess with it when it came to like a condiment or whatever. But that went on to us. Because he would always order his stuff without it. And so we took on the same sentiment of like, oh, I don't like it. We didn't critically think. And it wasn't until I was old, I was like, I'm going to try it.
And I still didn't like it.
And I still don't like it. It's not for me.
Yes.
But now I can say that definitively for myself, I'm not taking my father's opinion and pushing it on me.
That's good.
So that is the key, is that you seek the truth for yourself.
There go that word again.
Seek.
I mean, it's powerful.
It's powerful. Mm-hmm. And then ask the question, what are they trying to tell me?
Mm.
Some stuff is blatant. And I love people like that. Mm-hmm. You know, if I see a show and they are like, let me, for instance, Witcher on Netflix, I believe I'm going to get just that.
Mm.
But some people saying this is a show, we're going to explore this fantasy land or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And it's about X, Y, and Z. Tell me. Mm-hmm. But when you don't tell me this is what your messaging is about, and you don't have enough critical thinking to say, let me go research this. Mm-hmm. What are they trying to say? So you have to seek it out for yourself. People in media are not going to leave because they're trying to sway you.
Facts.
And that's the message, is you seek it for yourself so that you have a true understanding. You make an informed decision for you.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to watch Witcher or whatever and see all of it all the way through, and that's great, but at least you know that's what you want to do,
right?
And ultimately that's going to contribute to a more meaningful and fulfilling life. You're going to have personal growth and integrity because you're going to say, no, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you hoping that somebody else like that. And this is what I love about you, Kishelle. Let me wrap out. I love that you be like, I don't like that.
I will tell you in a minute.
Or you'll be like, I like that. And some people get uncomfortable because you're so sure of what it is that you like and that you don't like.
Facts. Why is that?
I don't know.
We need to stand in it. What I'm saying is, I'm a big proponent of, I don't want anyone doing anything they really don't want to do. So I have learned to use my voice in a very distinctive way. And I'm always checking, you good?
You good?
Because if you're not good, we can talk about it so we can get good. Because we don't want to be good. We all want to be good.
I can't, because we're wrapping it up. Yeah. Are you good?
I'm good, friend. I'm so good that I'm thanking our community for being a part of this episode.
Our brothers and sisters, thank y'all for being here.
If you could give us a 5-star rating and share your thoughts with us on Apple Podcasts, we would so appreciate it. Your support truly is assisting us in connecting with a wider audience. They need to know how it works, and we want to share that with them. To leave ratings and reviews, simply scroll down to the bottom of the show page and click on write a review. I mean, seriously, just click on it, write it, tell us. We are open to all feedback, good, bad, or indifferent. We really love to get the feedback where we might, where it's like, hey, y'all just all right. You the one I want to talk to. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to be better than all right. And if you have something that you can share with me that I could, you know, enhance on, you're the one I really want the feedback from. I want feedback from everybody. Don't get me wrong. But since you're here, hit the subscribe, follow, favorite button and join our community. Please let us know your thoughts in the comment section. We live for it. For more information on our host and the podcast network, please visit our website, wattsproductions.com/podcast. And that is WATZS, wattsproductions.com/podcast. I know you're right. Share this episode with your friends who might find it interesting, just like you. Sharing is caring. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us.